Inshallah, brother, sit for a short while. We'll have the zakat presentation, inshallah. So the khalifa bacha, inshallah, let's come close, inshallah. Very short, quick presentation, inshallah, on zakat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innama as-sadaqatu lil-fuqara'i wal-masakeen wal-amilin alayha. والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا آمين يا رب العالمين. So alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders, inshallah, I don't want to keep you too long, inshallah. I know this time people generally like getting a bit of rest at this time. But because this is an essential topic, and after Asr, we don't have the energy to process such a topic after Asr as well. So, inshallah, we'll just go through it. And I'll try and keep it brief, Jazakallah. I'll try and keep it brief and short. If there's any questions along the way, anytime, inshallah, feel free to interject and ask any questions, by all means. Like I said, maybe all the slides won't be covered, hopefully when it's set up. All the slides, I might not go through every single slide in detail, shares and pensions and stocks, etc. I might not discuss all these things in detail, but if someone has a question relating to that, feel free to ask, inshallah. I'll just wait for Brother Asker just to say this. زنده. اوكي okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So I'll set a time limit inshallah, hopefully by 2 o'clock inshallah we'll wrap it up. Alhamdulillah, every year we try and deliver this presentation or go over the brief masail of zakat. However, because it's something that generally people discharge in the month of Ramadan, so Ramadan is a good time to recap these masail and go over them. But like I said, I might not cover every single point that you might have in your mind, but if there's something which is missed, then feel free to ask me inshallah. Okay, those who are joining online, the sisters who are joining online, then what you can do then is, why is the sound not clear, Sister Shaina? Okay, so I think then just mute. I think what you can do is just mute the Zoom and then just maybe listen from the e-masjid live. Maybe do it that way. That way there won't be like two different sounds coming through. Okay. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Can everyone see? Let's go just put it back a little bit more inshallah so everyone can see clearly. Okay, so what is zakat? Zakat is one of the five pillars of Islam. It is an obligation upon all Muslims. The literal meaning of the word zakat is to purify, to cleanse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with wealth to ensure that that wealth is clean, cleansed, and it is suitable for us to use. This is why we have zakat. If we do not give zakat, then the entirety of our wealth lacks barakah and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we dispense and discharge that zakat, the 2.5% obligation upon that wealth, then the entirety of that wealth now becomes blessed. That's why the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, when he would come to discharging and dispensing their zakat, they would always try to give their best items in zakat. They wouldn't give inferior quality items. Like the famous hadith Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi alayhi brings, where the zakat collectors would come and they would collect the zakat. So one Sahabi, the zakat collector came to collect his zakat, and he was on livestock, he was on animals. So the zakat collector said, you know what? It's only this particular animal which is required. You don't need to give anything better than that. Well, he said, no, I want to give the best animal. He said, what are you going to do with this animal? It's so weak, it's so small, it's not of much benefit, it doesn't give milk. So he was insisting that the zakat collector take his best animal that he has. And the zakat collector said, look, I'm under strict instructions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just to take this particular weaker animal. And he said, no, I can't have it. I can't have it that you're leaving my house and I know I've got something better at home that I could give you, that could be given to the poor. So they both came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, as long as you understand that that small animal was sufficient, then you know you can give the big animal. He said, I understand that, Ya Rasulullah. It's not that I don't understand it, but I, for my own, for my own consciousness, that I want it to be that I have spent my best wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain true piety until you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those things which you love. So this is what is mentioned inside of the hadith, inside of the Quran as well. I've done something here, this is the way I can. Okay, I know all of my screen and everything popping up is coming on, but hopefully inshallah it's all clear. Okay, so zakat is defined as the transfer of ownership of a certain amount of wealth that has been prescribed by the Sharia from a rich Muslim to a poor Muslim who is not a Hashimi and neither the slave of a Hashimi for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So zakat is transfer of ownership. That the wealth has to, and it's very important wording here, that the wealth has to go into the hand of a person. It has to go into the ownership of a person. Matlab dusre ko tamlik kehte Arabi mein. Tamlik, dusre ko malik banana. You got to make somebody else the owner of that wealth. So for example, if I am a landlord, I have a tenant, and I know my tenant is mustahiq of zakat. My tenant is entitled to zakat. So now I think, you know what? What I'll do is, I'll just tell him, you know what? Your next month's rent is let off. You don't need to give next month's rent. And the intention I make is that zakat amount that I had, maybe the £500. Maybe £500 was his rent. But I make the intention that £500 that I've let him off, that's my zakat done. My zakat will not be fulfilled. Because I have not given him ownership of that £500. Again, do you have to give that money into his hands? No, it's not necessarily. You can give cash or you can give kind. Anything, but the point is you have to make that person the owner of it. Whether you give it in food items, whether you give it in clothes, whether you give it in wealth, cash, money, it doesn't matter. The point is that you have to make the person owner. If you do not make them owner and you do not give them milkiyah and the ability to use that as they see fit, then zakat is not fulfilled. So it's a very important point. To a rich Muslim, to a poor Muslim, who is not a Hashimi and neither the slave of a Hashimi for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On whom is zakat fard? Zakat is fard upon a Muslim, an adult, a sane person, a free person, not a slave. So a person has to be a Muslim naturally. You have to be adult, you have to be past the age of puberty, and you have to be post-pubescent. If a child is prepubescent and they're a child, even if they have lots of money saved up and they have, I don't know, a huge amount of pocket money and they have so many other things, zakat is still not fard upon them. The same way hajj is still not fard upon them. Takleef, and for a child to become mukallaf and for a child to become legally responsible in Islam is when they reach the age of puberty. It's in everything. In everything they are legally responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once they reach the age of puberty. So similarly in the case of zakat. Until they do not reach the age of puberty, they do not need to give zakat on a single penny of their wealth. Number three, a sane person, naturally, an insane person, salah is not even fard on them, zakat is not fard on them, hajj is not fard on them. A free person, not a slave. A slave, even if he does possess wealth or she does possess wealth, it becomes the ownership of the master. But obviously, because generally we don't have slavery in that particular way, so we don't need to discuss those rulings. Number five, the condition is that he owns the nisab, the threshold from the wealth, which is fully owned. It's his money or her money. And this is why yesterday somebody was asking me this question, that what if husband and wife have a joint account? If husband and wife have a joint account, what do we do? Because both are wealth. So look, one of the conditions here, it's fully owned, it's yours. Because zakat, this is one point a lot of people misunderstand. People give, like husband gives the wife's zakat, he doesn't even tell the wife. So if the wife doesn't know, her zakat is not discharged, it's not fulfilled. People give, especially on wife's jewellery, gold, etc. The husband just gives the zakat. And say, oh, did I give my zakat? Your zakat was done. Well, her zakat, because it's like salah, you can't perform salah for someone else. You can't give zakat to someone else. As in, you can, but they have to have the intention of it. They have to have the intention of doing it, of discharging it. You might have given it for them, but they have to have the niyyah that my zakat is getting fulfilled, and then inshallah the zakat will be discharged. Otherwise, it won't be discharged. Other things like qurbani, sadaqatul fitr, you don't need to tell the person. If you just give the qurbani, sadaqatul fitr, inshallah it will be discharged. But when it comes to zakat, you have to tell the person. The person has to fully own it. Yes, I was talking about joint bank accounts. If you've got a joint bank account, it's very important to specify, okay, how much of that is mine, how much of that is yours. If one person gives the zakat on behalf of both, you know, husband and wife, both spouses, then that's also fine. But then we have other issues. Like, let's say someone was to pass away. If someone was to pass away, how do you know whose wealth is what? You can't just say, because Islamically it will be incorrect to say that, oh, it's all mine now. Whichever spouse passes away, the other spouse says, it's all mine. Because that's not the case. You had it joined. So now put a percentage there, 50% or 60-40. Someone was saying yesterday that, oh, you know, my spouse, he puts in more than I do. Okay, then make it 70-30. Make it 80-20. If you want to go down that route, then at least stipulate it. So let's say if your husband passes away, then 80% of that, you know, the money in that account is his. And now the laws of wiratha and the laws of distribution of inheritance will apply to that 80%. But otherwise, it causes a lot of confusion in the future. And many times, unfortunately, we might fall into making decisions which are impermissible and may result in someone taking haram wealth or someone's being deprived of their right. Be in excess of his personal needs. Clothing, household furniture, utensils and cars, etc. are termed as articles of personal use. So these things will not be included when we are giving zakat or when we are calculating zakat. Clothing, you don't include that. Household furniture. Basically, zakat is only on gold, silver and business assets. So gold and silver, because we don't use gold and silver for our dealings, we use money. But obviously money is based off gold and silver, of gold. So let's just say cash, gold, silver and business assets. Business stock. Cash, gold, silver and business stock, business assets. This is what zakat will be based on. So clothing, household furniture, utensils, cars, these things will not be calculated when we are, these things will not be considered when we are calculating the zakat, unless we have certain things at home where there's gold or silver mixed into them. If you have something in which more than 50% of that is gold, right? If you have an item in which more than 50% of it is gold, then you will have to give zakat upon it. If less than 50% of it is gold, then you will have to give zakat upon the whole thing. If less than 50% of it is gold, then you will have to give zakat on just the amount of gold or just the amount of silver which is inside of it. See, of a productive nature from which one can derive profit or benefit, such as cash, gold, silver, merchandise for business, pensions, shares, livestock. Livestock is animals, which we won't really discuss anyway. The wealth should be possessed by a person for a complete lunar year. A person should have this wealth for an entire lunar year. So that's why it's very important as well, zakat anniversary. Zakat anniversary, from the time where I became, I went over the threshold of nisab, from that time, I wait till the next year, this time, and then I give zakat. What do I give zakat on? I give zakat on whatever I have on the date of my anniversary, as long as it's above the threshold. I give zakat on whatever I have above the threshold, as long as it is on the date of my anniversary. So let's say a person reached the threshold. What's the threshold of zakat? It's going to come later. If a person reached the nisab threshold today, right? The wealth went over the silver threshold. We based off the silver nisab, the wealth went over that. Now next year this time, they will calculate exactly how much cash, gold, silver, how much business assets they have. They will lump all that together and they will give zakat based on that day. If in the year sometime they didn't, if their wealth increased or decreased, that doesn't matter. You don't take that into consideration. It's just on the zakat anniversary date, you base it off that. Note, there is no zakat on types of wealth that are not of a productive nature, even if these are in excess of one's needs, such as cars, utensils, furniture, etc. If such items are not intended for trade, sales or hire. Personal use, I've got 5 cars but I use all of them. Or I've got 5 cars and I just have them in my garage. Doesn't matter, I don't have to give zakat on them. I've got so many items of clothing, televisions, TVs, computers, monitors. They're not being used, they're lying around, I still don't have to give zakat on them. Zakat is only given on these items if I buy them to sell. If I buy my phone with the intention of selling it, I bought it with the intention of selling it, then I have to give zakat upon it. Anything which I have bought with the intention of resale, then I need to give zakat upon that. If it's something which I have in my possession, and now I decide to sell it, I don't have to give zakat on that. Let's say my phone's old now, I want to change it, I want to upgrade. So I want to sell my old phone, I don't have to give zakat on it. Similarly, if I bought something to sell, I bought this phone to sell, but then I changed my mind and I thought, you know what, I actually need a phone, why don't I just keep it? So I keep it, I change my intention, now it's not for sale anymore, once again I don't have to give zakat on it. So the only time you give zakat upon an item is when you buy it for resale. When you buy it for resale. So similarly, all these manufacturers, and this is something, you know, take into consideration. A lot of people do baking, and people do painting, and people do, you know, different kind of things. They have to give zakat upon everything which will be sold. Let's say you've got someone who's got an Instagram channel or a TikTok channel, and they sell small canvases, right? They paint, and they paint people's names, and they sell them. So now they know that canvas is going to be sold. That canvas is going to be sold. That paint is going to be written on that canvas, it's going to be sold. So what would happen is they need to calculate that, take that into consideration as well. When they're giving their zakat, they need to give zakat on all these things, because all these things will be sold. But if you have machinery, pens and special quills and special equipment, you don't have to give zakat on them. You don't have to give zakat on equipment which will be used to produce these things. Let's say someone is a baker. Right. Now, they're going to sell cakes, or they're going to sell biscuits, right? So they might have chocolate sprinkles, they might have flour, they might have whatever else they need, eggs or whatever else. So they'll have to give zakat on all those things, because they will be sold to the customer. But they don't have to give zakat on all the other baking equipment, like, what do you call them? You know, the sieves and the bowls and all that preparation equipment. They don't need to give zakat on those things. So anything which is regarded as equipment, even if it's extremely expensive, even if it costs thousands of pounds, you still do not have to give zakat upon all of that. Okay. Anjay. Okay, the nisab of gold and silver. So nisab of gold is 87.48 grams. And the nisab of silver is 612.36 grams. So generally the nisab of gold is much higher, and the nisab of silver is much lower. That's why the scholars have mentioned it's anfa' lil fuqara, more beneficial to the poor people, if we abide and follow the nisab of silver. So if we follow the nisab of silver, then at least people will benefit. If we follow the nisab of gold, then after many deductions, etc., from loans and bills and this and that, a lot of people might be in a position where they don't give zakat. They don't give zakat, and the poor will not benefit. So we stick with the nisab of silver. If a person only has gold, then they will follow the nisab of gold. If they only have silver, they'll follow the nisab of silver. If they've got silver and gold, or if they've got cash, then they will follow the nisab of silver. Or they've got business goods, then they will follow the nisab of silver. Now tolas, people ask about tolas, how much zakat is on one tola. So one tola is about 11.6 grams or something like this. About 11.66 grams. I had it written here somewhere. Huh, 11.66 grams. So tola, in Bangla they say bori. So bori is the same kind of measurement, but 11.66 grams. So you have to go on websites like bullionbypost.com, etc., and find out, oh, take it to the jeweler, and you can just get it measured. That's the easier way. Take it to the jeweler, all the gold, silver that we have, get it measured. What's the measurement of this? And based on that weight, then we follow the rate of the day. The rate of which the date of your zakat anniversary. And then we have to pay zakat on our gold and silver based on that particular date. If a person's wealth reaches the threshold of gold or silver, they will be obligated to give zakat, as it has become fard on them. This does not mean that the above is the amount to be given as zakat. Obviously, zakat is going to be given 2.5% of that. If a person only has gold as an asset, then the nisab for gold must be used. If someone has a mixture of assets, then the nisab for silver should be used. To ascertain the current monetary equivalent of the nisab limit, it is necessary to establish the market rate for a gram of gold and silver. You can obtain that from wellwishes.org.uk. That's one website we mentioned here. Like I said, bullion by post, all these things. Or easier is just to take your to the gold, etc., to the jewelers, and just get them to weigh it. And then when they tell you the weight, and then you can find the how much each gram, etc., is equivalent to on the day, and give zakat based on that. The rate of zakat which was fixed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 1/40. 1/40. 1/40 is 2.5%, i.e., 2.5 pence of every pound. £496. So £496 is the that's today's Marana. Huh. So yesterday's £496. Marana saying is yesterday's rate. So if anybody has wealth which is above £496, jazakallahu khairan. If anyone has wealth which is over £496, or like I said, gold, silver, business assets, then zakat will be fard on them. They'll have to give zakat. But again, like I said, you have to go off your zakat anniversary. It's nothing to do with Ramadan. Nothing to do with Ramadan. People just think Ramadan zakat. Right, Ramadan is not the month of zakat. Zakat is just based on your situation, your circumstances. Ramadan people like to give because it's a month of giving, and it's easy to remember, okay, the month of Ramadan is my zakat day. You fix it as that, stipulate it as that. Ideally, the zakat date should be fixed at the time when you first went over the threshold of nisab. Most people don't remember that. So then you just fix a date. Either you try and, you know, ascertain and estimate a specific date and fix that. If you can't even do that, then you just fix one. Fix a date and just stick with that every year. If you feel like you've got back, you know, payments of zakat which you've missed, then just give them, and from now on just fix that as a date, recurring every year, annually, you'll give zakat on that particular day. Types of wealth on which zakat is not fard. Zakat is not fard on any other metal besides gold and silver, such as platinum, titanium, all these type of things, different metals. Zakat is not fard on diamonds, pearls. You can have a diamond ring, extremely expensive, but there's no zakat on that. However, the silver, which might be on that diamond ring, the silver part of it, you'll have to weigh the silver and give zakat on the silver, not on the diamond. Pearls, other precious or semi-precious stones, which are of personal use. There is no zakat on imitation jewellery or gold and silver plated items, but there's a difference of opinion here. I haven't actually looked at this presentation. The gold and silver plated items, there is an opinion in the Hanafi madhab that gold and silver plated items, you should still give it on whatever is actual gold from there to be on the safe side. So it's better just to give a bit excess in zakat just to kind of cover that as well. Zakat is not fard on fixtures and fittings of a shop, motor car, truck, or any delivery vehicle, etc., which is used in the running of a business. Basically, anything that is to do with production, you don't need to give zakat upon it. But anything that will actually go to the customer, anything which will be part of the product which is delivered to the customer, goes to the customer, you have to give zakat on that. Even if it's something that you want, like I said, chocolate sprinkles. But you've got to give zakat on that. If those chocolate sprinkles were purchased for resale, you've got to give zakat on that. So all these small things you have to kind of make a tally of, make a note of, make a sheet of the cost, the expenses of all these kind of things, prices of all these things, and you've got to calculate them in your zakat payments. There is no zakat on any number of living quarters. So living quarters, houses. You don't have to give zakat on houses. Even if it's a house which is on rent, you don't have to give zakat on that house which is on rent, but you will have to give zakat on the rental income, not on the house which is on rent. If somebody, however, has purchased a house, let's say I've purchased a house to sell, but in the meantime I can't find, until I find someone who's interested in buying it, I just think, you know, temporarily I'll put it on rent until I find someone who will actually buy it. So now, because I purchased this house for sale, for resale, I will have to give zakat on that house, and I will have to give zakat on the rental income as well, until it sells. There's a lot. Zakat is just all these, you know, different facts. Some of them apply to you, some of them don't. If there's any questions, feel free to ask, inshallah. If there's anything more personal circumstances, you can feel free to ask. There is no household furniture, utensils, personal clothing, whether they are in use or not. However, Islam does not justify extravagance. Someone says, you know what, I've got lots of money. If I keep it in my bank account, I'm going to have to give zakat on it. So let's just splurge and buy a BMW X5. So now you buy it. So this is what he's saying. To try and avoid zakat, this is a kind of like a hila, or you're trying to find a way to avoid zakat, so you're just using all that money. So why are we doing this? Right? Zakat is going to purify our wealth. We should happily, like the example I mentioned from the lives of the Sahaba, that they would happily give zakat from the best of their items, because they knew that that would then cause the rest of my wealth to become blessed. A person possesses nisab but owes money, which if deducted from one's wealth will leave one with an amount not equaling or exceeding. So I should have mentioned one more point actually. Like I said, your zakat, let's say today I go over the nisab threshold. Now next year on this day, according to the lunar calendar, I will have to give zakat based off whatever I have on that date. However, in the middle of the year, if there's fluctuation, we don't take into consideration unless you are at zero. If you lose all your money, you have nothing to your name, then your calculation will restart. Okay, then it will restart. But if there's fluctuation, and that fluctuation even takes you below the nisab threshold, sometimes people get confused here. There's fluctuation. Let's say today, Marana mentioned, I think, Marana, what was it? 490 something pounds. 496 pounds. Today I've got 496 pounds. So my personal circumstances have taken me above nisab threshold. So now next year on this day, I have to give my zakat. But next week, my financial state drops to, I've only got 200 pounds. So if someone says, oh, I've only got 200 pounds, in a few months' time, I've only got 200 pounds. If someone says, I've only got 200 pounds, so I don't have to give zakat now. No. Until you're not at zero, you're going to take into consideration the date in which you became above the threshold. Now next year on this date, if you are still below the threshold, you don't have to give zakat. But next year on this date, if you are above the threshold, you have to give zakat. Jay, is that making sense to everyone? Alright, a person possesses nisab but owes money, which if deducted from one's wealth will leave one with an amount not equaling or exceeding nisab. Right. So again, we can deduct this. We can deduct money that we owe other people. I've got £10,000 in my bank account. Oh, I've got £1,000 in my bank account. Marna mentioned £496 is the nisab threshold. But from that £1,000 in my bank account, £800 belongs to somebody. I owe £800 to someone else. Maybe I might not give it from that money, but I owe £800 to someone else. Or I owe £900 to someone else. So I will deduct that from the money that I'm going to give in zakat, from my zakat calculation. I will deduct that. I will deduct £900. So obviously if I deduct £900, it's brought me below the nisab threshold. So zakat is not even fard on me. Not only is zakat not fard on me, I might even be eligible to receive zakat. This is why we shouldn't be fooled by a person's appearances. Someone can have a house. If they've got a house, they've got a car, these are essentials. A house is essential. A car is essential. Clothes that they are wearing, which are essentials. So they have the essentials, but their financial state is such that they are below the nisab threshold. Then many times they might be eligible for zakat. They will only not be eligible for zakat if they have lots of extra possessions, items at home, which if you calculate, these are extra things that they don't need. They've got three cars. They only use one, the other two are just for show. Or they've got lots of televisions. Televisions are regarded as extra unnecessary things. Things which are not, you know, a part of one's needs. If you calculate all of them, it will take them above the nisab threshold. Then although they don't have to give zakat, they can't receive zakat either. Because they've got lots of personal possessions that reach the nisab threshold. Yeah. But this type of this person, however, when it comes to sadaqatul fitr and qurbani, he will have to give those kind of things over there. That's the difference. When to pay zakat? Zakat is only payable on assets which have been held for one lunar year. The zakat year starts only when a person first becomes sahibun nisab, the owner of wealth equal to or in excess of nisab. The date when a person first becomes sahibun nisab, an individual zakat year starts on the... I've mentioned all of these things, right? I've mentioned them all. The beginning of an individual zakat may be fixed in Ramadan. It's not necessary. It makes no difference how all of this has been mentioned. One lunar year later, if you possess the current nisab amount, you must pay 2.5% on your wealth as zakat. I mentioned all of this. Zakat year diagram, hopefully everybody's understood this. JJ.
Just confused about this completing one lunar year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will I still pay zakat on that money? Or?
No, you have to take into consideration your circumstances on that day. On the first of Ramadan, if you have lots of money still with you, then you've got to give zakat on that. But if even the day before you spent all that money, then you don't have to give zakat on that day. So zakat tamlik. Zakat will only be considered to be paid when tamlik is found. Tamlik means the transfer of ownership from zakat payer to a needy person. The transferer must be the zakat payer or his or her agent. The transferee or recipient must be a natural living person entitled to receive zakat, not a legal entity. This is a good choice of wordings here. First of all, the person who is paying zakat has to actually be the... Like if I'm paying zakat, I have to give it. Or someone who I've made an agent, like Murana. Murana's got madrasa, and the children there are eligible to receive zakat funds. So I've made Murana the agent. I say, Murana, here's my £100 for zakat. Please just make sure that it goes to the correct or valid recipients. Now, and remember, this is another issue with agents. If the wealth is lost at the hands of the agent, the person will still be sinful. His zakat still is not fulfilled. One can't, this is, we have to be very careful with agents as well. Like who am I entrusting with my zakat funds? I need to do a good amount of research, make sure. Because if they don't spend it on the poor people, then my zakat is not fulfilled. I just, Ummah Welfare Trust recently, somebody sent a message that they were trying to give qurbani. This was the thing he was asking me. Was it yourself? Somebody was saying that they were trying to give the zakat to a Ummah Welfare Trust, and they said, sorry, we're not accepting it anymore because we can't guarantee that we can use these funds within a year. So even the zakat funds that they have, they can use it all the way up to a year. So if I die and they have not used my zakat funds and they've not given it to the poor people, they still have it in their bank account, I am still legally responsible for that. I haven't paid my zakat. There's something to be quite, wary of. The zakat needs to go into the hands of the poor people for my farida and for my obligation to be fulfilled. And the person has to be living. This is also an important point. It's kind of mentioned that the living, natural living person, which means that I can't give zakat to a deceased person. How can you give zakat to a deceased person? Somebody passes away. So you know he's passed away, he's got funeral expenses, shrouding, burial expenses. So you know what, I'll just use my, his family members can't pay for his, or he doesn't have enough wealth which he's left behind to cover his funeral expenses. I'll just pay with my zakat. You can't do that, because although that is making him the owner, but he's dead. He's not eligible for ownership. So that's what, it's an important point here, that you have to give it to someone who is alive, who can actually receive that wealth. Not a legal entity. The transfer must not be remuneration or consideration for services. Okay? That, like I said, I employ someone, they do some work for me, and instead of paying them, I've let you off the money, or a zakat payment, or whatever. I say, here, take this money, and I just say, I give you extra money as zakat, or something or the other. You can't do it in that way. For example, a poor man cannot be paid for his work from zakat, nor can zakat be given in payment of anyone's services, except when an Islamic government pays salary to a person appointed by the government to collect zakat. This is in the Quran, right? The actual zakat collector in the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala talks about the 9 or 10 different types of people who can receive zakat, innama sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin wal amilina alayha. The third category of people who can receive zakat is amilina alayha, the zakat collectors. That the Islamic state entrusts them, makes them responsible, go and collect other people's zakat, they can be given a wage from the zakat funds. Jay, does someone have a question online? Okay, one, two questions. I'll just, I'll answer the questions at the end, inshallah. I can see your questions, inshallah, I'll answer them at the end. I'll quickly finish these slides, inshallah. Whoever's here, you can just answer, because let's start answering each chat, it'll take me too long. So the transferee, the recipient, must acquire possession and become owner of the funds unconditionally, that they can do whatever they wish with it. Right. Rules regarding zakat. Zakat cannot be given or used for the construction of masjids. You can't use it for the construction of masjids. Madrasas, hospitals, wells, bridges, or any other public amenity. Basically, you can't use it for welfare projects. Zakat cannot be used for welfare projects because anybody can use that. If I build a well, then someone who is eligible to receive zakat can drink from there, but someone who is not can also drink from there. So zakat is not fulfilled. It has to go into the hands of someone who is eligible, mustahiq of zakat. Poor students can be given a bursary from zakat. If the student is of an understanding age, the zakat must be given to him personally. If he is not of an understanding age, then his shari'i wakil, parents or legal guardian must be given possession of the amount. You got a student, he's studying, he needs financially needs funding. If he's poor means that his father is also mustahiq of zakat. If he's wealthy, if his parents are wealthy, then he is not mustahiq of zakat. If he's nabaligh, if he's not reached the age of puberty, then he cannot be regarded as mustahiq, deserving of zakat if his parents are rich, because his parents' job to look after him. If he has reached the age of puberty, his parents are rich, he's reached the age of puberty, but he doesn't have any money, then you can help him. Then you can give him from zakat funds. Zakat can be paid in kind from the same merchandise on which it is due, or alternatively, it could be paid in cash. It is of vital, so you can, like I say, you can give zakat in anything as long as you make sure it goes into the hands of the poor. It is of vital importance to ensure that all times that the recipient is made the owner of zakat. For example, giving people food as opposed to hosting them. You have to give them the food so they can eat it whenever they want. Hosting them is different unless you host. If you host poor people. If you host people who are mustahiq of zakat, you just host them to a meal and you give it that to them, then that's also permissible. Authority can be delegated to another person or organization. Basically, you can make other people responsible for distributing zakat. If a person requests someone to give a certain amount on his behalf as zakat and that sum is given out, then the zakat will be valid. The sum will be a debt upon the one who made this request. The sum given will be a debt upon the one who made this request. What's he saying here? If a person requests someone to give a certain amount on his behalf, so I say to Murana, just give £100 as zakat and I'll pay you back later. So inshallah, zakat will be fulfilled, but now I owe Murana the £100. That's what he's saying. If an agent is given zakat for distribution and he does not distribute it, then the zakat will not be regarded as fulfilled. I mentioned that point. Okay? And the sin of not discharging it will remain a burden on whom it was fard. So the agent business, we have to be very, very careful about it. Who I am entrusting with my zakat funds. It has to go to zakat people. You know, this is something. If you put money aside to give zakat, right? If you put money aside for zakat, like at home, people have pots. And they put extra change and this and that. If you have a pot of zakat, this is my zakat pot. Now that money, you know, you can give that as your zakat. But if you have a pot for like sadaqah and stuff like that, most people have it. We have it at home. The children do it. Now when it comes to calculating zakat, you also got to calculate that. Because that's not gone to the poor yet. So that is still part of your wealth. Because you got the choice to then just pick it back off the mantelpiece and just use it and buy something with it. So if there's a lot of money that, you know, certain houses, like lots of money accumulates in these pots, £100, £200, £300. It's not zakat money, it's just sadaqah and stuff like that. So now you've got to give zakat on that amount as well. You've got to calculate what's in that pot as well. Who can zakat be given to? And there's a whole bunch of people, but in generally, fuqara, poor people, amileen, these we don't need to worry about. Mu'allafatul qulub, these are one of the categories which most scholars say is abrogated. Mu'allafatul qulub, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give zakat to people to draw them towards Islam. Now this, we don't need to do this. Riqab, freeing slaves. Ghalimeen, people have debts. Now you can give zakat to these people. Someone who's got huge debts, really struggling financially, and their debts have kind of overwhelmed them in such a way that, you know, any money that they have could go to one of the people that they owe, and you can help them. You can help those people with your zakat funds. And it's always actually better to help people around us, firstly starting with family members. And who can you give from family as well? Hopefully they'll bring it here. If not, I'll mention it, remind me. Best to start with family. وَبِدَأْ بِمَنْ تَعُودْ. Start with those people who depend on you, rely on you. And then beyond that, friends and local people and community. Start with these people. And then beyond that, a person can send zakat funds to abroad and other places. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, someone who's going in jihad or something like this. Right? If you want to give zakat to them, you can give that. Ibn Sabil, a traveler. Someone who is a traveler, musafir. And although at home they've got lots of money. At home they've got lots of money and they've got lots of stuff. But they left their wallet at home. They don't have anything with them. You can actually give zakat to that person, even if he's very rich, but he doesn't have access to any of his funds, etc. Zakat can be given to such a person. I'm not looking at the chat now, inshallah. I'll look at it when I quickly finish this. People that persons that cannot be given zakat. Zakat cannot be given to Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim are the progeny of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Abbas, Ja'far, Aqil radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and and excludes the progeny of Abu Lahab. Just let me see if I can get rid of this. Okay, anyway, zakat cannot be given to parents. Zakat cannot be given to parents, grandparents, etc. In the same manner, one's children and grandchildren cannot be given zakat. A husband and wife cannot give zakat to each other. So you can't give zakat to those above you, you can't give zakat to those who are below you. Okay, some people ask questions, I know you've got another class, so let me just answer these questions. Would giving zakat to the local masjid be considered enough research into one's tamlik? No, I mean, local masjid, unless there's a project where the zakat is actually going to go into people's hands and you trust them as an agent, then again, that's not sufficient. On the Day of Judgment, that's not sufficient. I gave it to somebody else to give. You have to make sure it goes there. So now you've got to really verify and ensure that you trust these people. What if you have a debt or bill but don't intend to pay it back yet and only pay it a month after your zakat? Very good question. Can you deduct it from your wealth before calculating zakat? Yes, when you calculate zakat, you can deduct anything which is outstanding. You can deduct the monthly utility bills, all these type of things which are outstanding, rent, etc., which are outstanding for the month. And hopefully they'll mention this anyway in a short period. But I know you guys got to go for your next class. The sisters here have to go for the next class. If someone has a sadqa put at home, then how is the zakat calculated from that? Because it's not one person's wealth. You can just calculate it from the pot and give it. I understand that the recipient calculate whatever's on the pot and give it. But it's a good question. I understand that the recipient must acquire complete possession, but if you know they may waste it and need urgent medication or need to buy necessary things, can you buy the medication for them with that zakat money? Yes, yes, yes. Zakat can be given in cash or kind. Yes, you can buy the medication and hand that over with your zakat funds. If there is a widow and she has a son that earns, but their living conditions aren't the best. But his earnings suffice them in terms of food. Look, you have to know that they're eligible for zakat. If you just got a vague idea, I think they might be eligible for zakat, we still can't give zakat funds. They contribute sadaqah funds, give sadaqah, right? But you can't give zakat. For zakat, you have to be sure that these people are mustahiq, are deserving, right? We've answered some of these questions. Zakat can't, so you can't give zakat to anyone above you. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather. You can't give zakat to anyone below you. Children, fathers and parents, grandparents. Children, grandchildren, you can't give zakat onwards. You can't give zakat to your wife, or a wife to the husband. Apart from that, apart from these people, you can give zakat to anyone else. Apart from these people that I mentioned, you can give zakat to anybody else. Obviously provided they do not possess nisab. Zakat can't be given to non-Muslims. Non-Muslims you can give from sadaqah, you can't give zakat. Same applies to wajib sadaqah, sadaqatul fitr, you can't give to non-Muslims. Kafara, nazar, all these type of things. Nafl sadaqah can be given to non-Muslims. If you cannot determine whether the recipient is needy or not, it is better to make certain. Someone asked this question, better to make certain. If zakat is given without inquiry and subsequently it is known that the recipient is wealthy, then the zakat is not valid. It must be given again. Zakat will not be fulfilled by purchasing books or land, etc. Zakat cannot be used for the kafan of a deceased person because they can't be the owner. A deceased person's debt cannot be paid from zakat. All these things I've clarified already. Zakat on debts and other assets. Debts. Now here, this is a quite important point. Okay? Debts. Debts and other assets can be divided into three distinct sections. Debts owed to oneself, loans given to friends, debtors, etc. Debts payable to others, mortgages, money borrowed from friends, etc. Other assets, home purchase schemes, pensions, etc. Now, debts owed to oneself, or someone owes me money. Now, that can either be categorized as bad debt, Bad debt, I've given someone money years and years ago. That person's not paying me back, and I'm like fully certain or almost certain that this person's not going to pay me back. I don't have to give zakat on those funds. I don't have to give back payment on those zakats either. However, if in the future, mashallah, he gets inspired and he gives it to you. I'm just remembering my father-in-law, he was just saying that someone borrowed money of him. They borrowed money of him about 10 years ago. A huge amount of money, or whatever, a large amount of money. And they didn't give it back for many years. And time to time they'd see him and they'd say, oh, I need to give you money, I'll give it. Many years later, he came to meet him specifically in the masjid. I need to give your money back. I have to give your money back. Said, that's fine. You've been saying that for 10 years. What's the difference now? Why have you come out of your way to tell me? Said, because last night I had a dream and I saw a serpent, a huge serpent chasing me, saying, make sure you give Mufti Sahib his money back. If you don't give Mufti Sahib his money back, I'm going to come and eat you. So he saw this dream. So he said, that's why he's come. And he goes, he gave me £50 or something then, and after that he's gone again. He hasn't paid the rest. But this happens. You know, some people, you have this, there's no expectation that they're not going to give that money back. You have that. So you don't have to take that into consideration. However, and even if they do have a change of heart and they give the money back, you don't have to give back payments for those zakat because you had lost hope. So you don't have to give back payments for those zakat. If it's a debt where, you know, for example, Askar Bhai loans me some money and I say I'll pay you back next month and he knows that inshallah I'll pay him back. Now his zakat anniversary date, let's say 2 years. So in those 2 years, Askar Bhai will give zakat on the money that he's loaned me. He's going to give zakat on the money that he loaned me. And if he hadn't given zakat on that money, then when I do give it back to him, he will have to give back payments for the last 2 years. He'll have to give back payments. But like I said, if it was a bad debt where he had given up hope, he doesn't have to give back payments. That's the difference. Bad debts do not need to be added to one's zakatable assets. Strong debts need adding to zakatable assets even before they are received, whereas weak debts need adding to zakatable assets only after they are received. Hopefully he's going to mention definitions of each of these. Strong debts. Inclusion in zakat calculation even before they are received. It is best to add strong debts to one's total assets and discharge zakat yearly. A strong debt is where you're waiting to receive money you have loaned to someone, personal loans made to family, friends, etc. Trade debtors, borrowers who purchase goods on account and owe you money. Businesses, Jay, buy goods from you, you're a business, they bought goods from you and they owe you money. Now that's what's regarded as a strong debt, that they will hopefully pay you back. And even if they don't pay you back, then, obviously afterwards you don't have to pay zakat upon that. But in the meantime, you have to give zakat on that. Note, if one does not have enough wealth to pay off the zakat, then they can wait till they receive what they are owed. If someone can't afford to pay zakat, someone's bought, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of pounds of trade goods from me, and they haven't yet paid me for it. Now, obviously, I might not have the money to give zakat on all of that. So I can wait until he pays me, and then I will have to give the zakat on that, but I will have to backdate it, include all the dates that I missed. Weak debt, inclusion in zakat calculation only after they are received. Now these kind of things, you don't have to give zakat on them until you get this money. For example, wages. I know my wages are coming in at the end of the month. Today is my zakat date. I'm not going to give zakat based on the wage that will come at the end of the month. Right? Similarly, dowry, mahar. MashaAllah, people give flowery dowries on the certificate. 10,000 pounds, 20,000 pounds or something crazy. And they don't pay it. Now there is no zakat on this until you get the dowry, until the wife receives the dowry. Pensions, again pension, because you haven't got it, you don't have to give zakat on it. Again, pension here, this is something that has a caveat. If it's pensions, you have different schemes. You have defined benefit schemes, defined contribution schemes, and you have the government pension. Government pension, you don't give zakat on. Government pension, there's no zakat on it because until you get it. Because obviously you can't access it until you reach retirement age. Then you have defined benefit schemes. On defined benefit schemes, there's no zakat as well. Defined contribution scheme is where the employer takes your money and they invest it into different stuff, right? And the money grows. Because the money is growing, you will have to give zakat on that. Defined contribution schemes. Unpaid rent for landlord. I'm a landlord. Jay, someone's staying in my flat. They haven't yet paid me that money, although it's past the due date, they still haven't given it to me, I don't need to calculate that in my zakat. inheritance. I know someone's passed away, family member, I'm supposed to receive inheritance, mirath, but I've not been paid it yet, I've not received it yet, I also do not have to give zakat upon that. Bad debt situations. Debtor acknowledges existence of debt. I've already mentioned this. They acknowledge the existence of debt. If the debtor, whether solvent or insolvent, acknowledges existence of debt, then the debt is not excluded from the zakat liability. Basically, the debtor says, you know what, I do owe you, I will pay you back. Then, even though they're delaying it for a few years, you still have to take that into consideration. But if they totally deny existence of debt, or they disappear, they don't make any contact purposefully, basically the usul in the principle is, you have given up hope that they're going to pay you back, you don't have to give zakat in that money. Debts payable to others. I'm just going to see how many slides I've got left. Just basically what I've done here is, the masjid has a zakat section, would one still research into that? Like I said, you have to do your due diligence either way. Chalo, I'll just quickly go through, inshallah. Inshallah, just have a bit of patience, inshallah, I'll go through it quickly. Debts payable to others. So these are things that you can deduct from your zakat, from your zakatable assets. Outstanding living expenses, utility bill, gas, water, council tax, rent, phone bill. Goods purchased on credit. You have got the goods, but you've not yet paid them. You can deduct that. Outstanding salaries. I'm an employer, I've got a business. After I pay all the salaries, then whatever's left is going to be my pot, right? Or my head, you know, they say heads. It's going to go into my heads where it's my money. So I can deduct all the people's salaries because I know that's not going to be mine. Unpaid dowry to one's wife. Now, unpaid dowry to one's wife, you can deduct if you're intending to pay that, right? If you've written £20,000 on the certificate, but you're not going to pay that, there's no intention to pay that, it was written just for the sake of it, you don't deduct that. You only deduct something that you are going to pay. I owe my wife £1,000 from her mahr and I'm working towards paying her back. I can deduct that amount. It's like a loan which I borrowed from her, or debt which I owe her. Short-term loans, this is when the loan has to be paid back within the Islamic year or as soon as possible. This can also be deducted. Short-term loans, right? All these things that we mentioned. Long-term loans. Now, this is an important point. Long-term loans. People have mortgages, people have student debt, student tuition fee debts and all these kind of things where you're paying back over many years. So what you will deduct is just the 12 months, 1 year's amount. So in that 1 year, however much you will pay back, you've got a mortgage, annually however much you're paying, you can deduct the annual repayment. Okay? You can deduct the annual repayment, but you have to minus the interest. So you have to pay the capital, you have to deduct the capital, not the interest. Interest is not taken into consideration when it comes to zakat. Student finance, you will deduct the capital that you borrowed, not the interest. You'll have to exclude that. Home purchase schemes are not considered as debt under Sharia. They have their own status for zakat purposes. For which we'll just skip that for now, unless this applies to us. Pensions have already done that. Pensions continued. Pensions? Anyone got question on pensions? Generally, the proxies. I know there's some numbers here. These are Mufti Faraz Sahib's research. So he's mentioned that the Sharia funds, Sharia compliant funds, 26% of the pension you will give zakat on that. Direct property funds 15%, equity funds 27%, mixed asset funds 50%, and it is bonds, because bonds is interest based, haram, mixed interest funds, so you have to give everything, all of that. It's not permissible wealth. Mufti Zubair Butt, Mufti Rahman Mangera and other scholars, they've mentioned that 40% is a good proxy just to go off across the board. Pension, 40% of it, you'll just give zakat on 40% of it. The balance, whatever you have every year, annually, so 40% of that, you would just give zakat on that. But remember, this is only if you have... work pensions or defined contribution schemes. If it's a defined contribution scheme where the money is being reinvested, that's where you have to do it that way. If it's a defined benefit scheme, or it's obviously government pension, then you don't have to give zakat on these until you receive them. Yes. Employer's pension where you put it into a pot and the value of it fluctuates, you've got to give zakat on that one as well. You've got to give zakat on that one. Basically, where the money grows, this is a way to understand it, where the money is growing, this is where the zakat is given. So defined contribution scheme and this employer's pensions, which is a separate scheme. I don't know the fully the technical names of them, but yes, you have to give zakat on that annually. You have to calculate that as well. Although you might not have access to the funds, but you still have to give zakat on that. Moving on to other things that you don't have access to, ISAs and things like this. ISAs, fund, you know, children's savings, etc., where the child only has access to it after the age of 18. Then the child will give zakat upon it when they reach the age of 18. And if the child doesn't have access to it, parents do, then they can give zakat on behalf of the child, but from the time the child reaches the age of bulugh, maturity. They won't have to give the years before that, but from that time zakat has to be backdated. Zakat has to be backdated. Jee, did someone have a question? Okay. Common transactions, money deposited for safekeeping or given to another party for guardianship is zakatable. So it's like money that was placed in the bank or given to someone to look after. Down payments. A purchaser is not the owner of the funds forwarded in a down payment. Thus, money given as a deposit in a down payment is not subject to zakat. I've not bought the property yet. It's like a deposit, right? I've given a deposit, so I don't own that money anymore. It's a deposit, so I don't take that into consideration. Even if it is a refundable deposit. Because at this moment in time, I don't have tamlik of it. I don't have access to it. That person has access to it, right? You know, you have lots of refundable deposits, right? When you purchase an item, they say, give us £100, it's refundable if you do make your decision to purchase this item. In any way, in any scenario, you won't have to give zakat upon that. Insurance premiums, zakat is not payable on insurance premiums, health insurance, car insurance, etc. Benefits, zakat is payable in all of those benefit schemes. Zakat on business stock, I've kind of explained that in general. Zakat on shares, anyone have any questions on zakat on shares? No? Generally, the way you calculate it anyway is you base it off market value, the share market value. You have two types of shares, right? One of the shares is where you have annual dividends, brought here. You have annual dividends. If you have annual dividends, then you'll give zakat on those dividends. If you don't have annual dividends, it just grows in price, in value, then you'll have to give it off the market value. That's another thing. You know, when I said about business stock, it has to be market value. Business stock, you give zakat on market value, today's market value. If I bought this phone to sell, then I will give zakat on the market value of this phone, not the amount I intend to sell it for. Right? I'll give zakat the market value of this stock. Zakat on shares, shallow, we'll leave that one. Intention, this is essential, right? When you're giving zakat, you have to have intention, otherwise zakat is not fulfilled. Like I said, so you can't give zakat for somebody else. They have to know that they are giving their zakat. They have to have intention of zakat, and then inshallah the zakat will be fulfilled. Let me see what's this. Is zakat due on land owned, and is that based on purchase price estimated market value? If you purchase that land to sell, then you know zakat will be due upon it. But if it's not, then you don't have to give zakat on that. And then the example, and then Jazakallah for attending. Any questions? Yes, difficult. I've been teaching since 11 o'clock as well. It's hard to, and the students are waiting for me to teach them till 3 o'clock. Any questions anyone has? Is it all clear? Of course, if you have any questions, feel free to always get in touch or refer. It's very important. Zakat is, we only fulfill it once a year. But it's fard, it's obligation. If zakat is not fulfilled, so many severe warnings have been mentioned in the hadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in the Quran as well. يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِسُونَ. That wealth on which you do not give zakat, it will be molded into hot, and it will be basically merged together, and it will be branded. It will be made very hot, and with that hot wealth, you will be branded on your forehead, on your side, and on your backs. And it will be said to you that هَذَا مَا كَنَسْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. This is that wealth that you had, you know, saved for yourself in the world. You didn't want to give zakat upon it. So taste it now today. taste this severity of it today. So you have to be very, very careful, ensure that we are fulfilling the due diligence when it comes to paying zakat. What's these two questions here? Zakat for land use for your own house is not due zakat. No. You don't have to give zakat on that. Jazakumullah khairan everyone for attending. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jalali insurance, inshallah, we'll continue with our Jalali lesson. Inshallah, how long do we have? 10 minutes. ہر سال کا مجھے دینا پڑے گا پچھلے سالوں کا ہر سال کا مجھے دینا واپس زکات دینا پڑے گا تو اسی لیے اس وقت مجھے دینا مجھ پر فرض ہے لیکن اگر کسی کے پاس اتنا مال نہ ہو کہ اس قرض پر وہ زکات دے سکے تو کوئی مسئلہ وہ انتظار کر سکتا ہے جب واپس آ جائے لیکن جب واپس آ جائے تو پھر یہ اتنے سالوں کا وہ دینا پڑے گا پانچ سال ہو تو پانچ سالوں کا ہر سال کے حساب کے مطابق دینا پڑے گا ٹھیک ہے
You don't have access to them, so
you still have to give it because your wealth and it's growing. Although you don't have, it's like the ISA, ISA or all these other. There's all these other schemes, isn't there? Like ISA is like a
not
house.
Not a pension, gold though. Because say 1 year it might be worth £3,500. You can see the check is like £1,000.
But the point is, it's invested. It's invested, so that fluctuation, not necessarily growth.
So I don't have access to that.
Yeah, it's
until
true.
I get the retirement age.
It's true, but it's still your wealth. You can still, it's still your wealth, and your money is going directly into that. And if you were to leave that the job or whatever it is, then that you would get it. Yeah, you would get it.
Because I've left my job, and I won't get that pension until I reach the retirement age.
Achha. Yeah. So you have to check what type of.
Contributing anymore, yeah.
Achha, so you have to check what type of. A scheme it is. It's a defined benefit scheme and zakat is not followed on it anyway. So, but you just have to check the fine print of it. Myself, I don't have a pension, you see, so I do not. So I'm not fully, you know.
Yes.